Dave Fanning on 2FM.
2FM. Dave, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you.
Oh, right, I put that mic up as well, will I? Okay, fair
happy
enough.
Happy Christmas to you, Dave. It's right. Lovely to see you.
And it's lovely to see you too.
I always seem to come in around Christmas time. Obviously, obviously I'm one of the people, like, who do you need to get in at Christmas? Nobody comes in. Oh, yeah, Niamh Shaw. She always comes in.
Right, yes.
Get her in.
It being Sunday morning, 3 days to go to Christmas Day. Now, Niamh Shaw is here. And a doctor, it is, I should say that.
I know,
Dior full stop, is
Dior
it?
Dior full stop,
right,
yeah.
Okay. And there's loads of letters after the name, are there, yeah?
Oh,
give me all them. Go on.
Oh, God. So there's BE for the degree. Then there's MNGSC for the masters.
Oh, BE. Bachelor of Economics.
Engineering.
Okay. Go on.
Then MNGSC, which is Masters of Engineering Science.
Whoa.
And then a PhD.
What?
And then
what?
You do all your memberships.
My
PhD is in, like, edible films, which is kind of now, like, it was way ahead of its time.
Whoa, wait a minute. Like popcorn. Wait a minute.
No, you know,
edible,
like,
films.
Yeah, you know the best way to explain it, you know the liquid tabs that you use, like, in your washing, like, so that you can put
wait,
in, like...
You did a PhD on that?
I did a PhD on the outer, the casing of it. So...
See,
there's two proteins in milk, you know, like Little Miss Muffet sat in her cup and Tuffet eating her curds and whey. So curds is casein that's used for cheese and whey is the other protein. And in the early 90s, nobody knew what to do with whey. Of course, now it's whey protein for, like, bodybuilders and what's your protein. But then they were trying to find uses for it. So it was like a byproduct. And so myself and my supervisors, we came up with a system to create these kind of biopackaging materials using whey protein isolate.
Wait a second, you did a PhD in something that you invented.
Well, it wasn't really. You just like, it's only like one variation of a kind of a body of research that's happening. So there was edible films made out of, like, what was the one? Loads of them made out of cellulose and carbohydrates and stuff. And then there was a few made out of proteins. So mine was whey protein isolate.
Well, I'm very glad
listen,
to hear it. Wow,
yeah,
God.
You're
a bit
it.
Brainy, are you? Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think I'm a hard worker. I don't think I'm an okay. exceptional person. I think I'm a grafter.
All right. Well, look, I'll tell you what. The reason you're in here today,
yeah.
Because we're hitting the end of the decade, always fun to look back and see what changed in the last 10 years. In the decade that created brunch and fake news, what were the inventions and new technologies that improved our everyday lives? That's what I'm talking about here. Well, anyway, the most effective developments of the decade and all other stuff too. Communicator, science, scientist, engineer, PhD in something I don't understand, an expert on all things, basically. Niamh Shaw, you're very welcome to the programme. Now, let's talk about a leap. Can we put it that way? What was the biggest leap, do you think?
I think, you know, it's kind of funny even remembering a time when it wasn't there. It's definitely the fact that households had broadband. So, like, there's lots of inventions, but I've focused on inventions that have changed our everyday lives, because there's amazing things that we could get very techie. So let's focus on the things that actually changed people's lives every day. And broadband becoming mainstream in people's houses has, without doubt, I think, changed the way we live. You know, and in the survey last year, the census of last year, 89% of us now have broadband. Band in our homes. And the only people that don't are people who be lack of skills or people who just, like, you know, they're kind of almost living off the grid. So everything we do in the home and even the way we communicate is based on the fact that we have just gotten so used to having very fast network on our phones. Now 4G is standard and fast broadband, which then sets up a wireless network in our house. And everything kicks off from that. So, like, if we start with how we socialise and communicate, you know, every day most of us are online communicating either on Twitter or on Snapchat, on an Instagram. And even they themselves have evolved over the last 10 years to accommodate the way we communicate.
Yeah, it's got twice as many sort of characters now, doesn't it?
Twitter
was always
twice
the big 140.
That's right.
Because there was always that joke about what's the difference between Twitter and Game of Thrones. At least Twitter only has 140 characters. But you can't make the joke anymore now.
Yeah, so that changed as well. And 321 million monthly active users. But Snapchat has 210 million daily active users. And I don't use Snapchat at all. And Snapchat was sort of like a subversive kind of app when it came out first, because its gimmick was that you would send a photograph to somebody and it would disappear. So it was kind of used for sort of like pervy sort of things where people were dating and they wanted to send each other illicit photographs. It's completely changed now. And it kind of started the whole notion of setting up stories, you know. So now you have stories on Instagram and you stories on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then Instagram Instagram started out in 2010. It has 1 billion people now using it as of May 2019. And the big thing about Instagram was the evolution of the selfie. Are you a selfie person nowadays?
I've taken a selfie
have
or two.
You? Yeah,
oh, in
yeah.
my day, absolutely. Yeah.
And I didn't realise it was going back. So the selfie was a phenomenon that came from Japan. So it was kind of a culture among young girls, kawaii, and they were kind of obsessed with taking photographs of themselves. And there was one girl, and she posted, I think it was 17 pictures of herself and created an album. And the culture was for these girls that they would swap pictures of themselves, but she was one of the first people to take a selfie. And then the phrase selfie was coined in 2013. And then celebrities then got into selfies, and that was it. It just took
and
off.
One of those
since.
Famous photos of the decades is at the Oscars. Now, okay, what we're talking here about is inventions of the decade with Dr. Niamh Shaw, PhD. A lot of other things as well. Let's keep going on all this here because, now, like you mentioned, how we socialise and communicate. I mean, like the broadband, we can now work remotely even in different countries. There's
yes.
a new category of remote workers actually called digital
nomads.
And there's new working environments, co-working spaces,
hot desks.
Yeah, to accommodate.
You know, so you don't need to be
and
at
all
work
the stuff
anymore.
Of if you want to write the great American novel and if you want to kind of rent a house in County Clare or whatever for the whole year,
you can do
the whole world, the whole thing.
Yeah,
supposedly.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one of the things about the last 10 years. Yeah,
but even like if you think about like how we find partners now, how we date, how we find partners, like a lot of people would say now, you know, whereas on like dating, like through those kind of people, you know, like Match.com and stuff, and you know, about 10, 15 years ago was sort of like desperate. Now it's just the normal way to communicate, to find someone. So you've got like so many different dating apps are impossible to keep up with, and they all have like
and
different
Tinder, Bumble
stuff.
And all the rest. And you can message through Facebook and Instagram
et cetera. And then in the house, I mean, everybody, you know, like there's people now, you know, you hear parents kind of go, and I didn't know you ate because the kid upstairs has ordered their own food online through JustEat.ie or Deliveroo and stuff. And they've eaten upstairs. They don't even come downstairs, you know.
Yeah.
And we order food online all the time. People order tables for restaurants
and phrases
and stuff
like,
online.
It's for you are gone. Because there's no phone left in the house.
There's
anymore.
No phone. Like hardly anybody has a landline anymore, you know.
Mm.
And then even within the house then, like we use, like I don't have an Alexa or anything. Have you got one of those kind of voice? No, I don't either.
I've never spoken to Alexa.
Oh, I know loads of people that have them. And and then there's using your wireless network now, there are, you know, there's light bulbs and different pieces of technology that you can plug into
the
your
speakers
network.
And television and heating and everything else.
Everything.
Yeah, remotely
so
from somewhere else.
You can remotely turn your heating on. You can remotely turn your lights on. You can use Alexa to link everything up. So just turn your lights on, turn your lights off, music on, TV on,
and one
on,
of the
TV
things,
off.
Like you see in the papers today, there's going to be major sales going on today, tomorrow and Tuesday for the last 72 hours of sort of buying
online
presents
shopping,
before Christmas.
That's
and all
normal
the rest
now.
And the reason is that the online shopping is killing the high street stone dead by the looks of it.
Like
except
you
for
have.
Some things like Penny's doing well, etc.
Yeah, like it started out with kind of eBay and Amazon, but now you have like Little Woods, you've got like Boohoo.com, you've got all
it's
these
It's a dangerous
different
thing, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's taken away a lot of who we kind of are as a society, that the high street is going to, well, I don't know, it's dying a bit, isn't it?
It's dying a bit. It has to, I think it's going to be, it'll come back though. You know, these people, like they're kind of retro and stuff, but like it, the service, I think like the human service is what's going to separate us. Like if you can't have good service in a shop, people are just going to shop online.
Yeah, but the definition of us all as a community takes in even malls, let alone like streets of town shopping.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I still love going shopping though,
that's
you know.
The kind of thing I'm trying to
but
say.
But then
yeah.
Like even the thing about the, you know, what I've really noticed is like even the way we watch TV. I wonder how much longer we will actually have television sets. Like, because you've got these, you know, you've got these additions now where you can kind of plug into the back of your TV. Like, you've got Apple TV, these boxes, and then you've got Chromecast, so you can turn your TV into an internet thing. But also, the massive change are these streaming programs like Netflix, Amazon Prime, now Apple TV. I can't even keep up with half of them.
Yeah, Google Chrome, and then all the big things in America. That you could,
massive, you know, Netflix would have started out kind of around 2012 as sort of a DVD renter, and then they kind of killed that off, and now they're just totally streaming. And now
it was founded a long time ago, though.
Yeah. But what's like amazing is that it kind of creates its own content. Like, it's amazing that Netflix shows now are Oscar-worthy categories. Like, that's what I find.
Well, I mean, three of the biggest movies of the year with The Two Popes, Marriage Story, and The Irishman.
Did you watch Marriage Story?
They're all,
What did you think?
I thought it was great.
I hated it. I absolutely hated it. The acting is great, but that's not a good enough reason to watch two self-indulgent. No, there's no story.
I just wanted the two of them to get on great at the end, or at least to have a good life. Anyway, listen, let's take a look at this here, because Netflix, like, we're looking at the last 10 years, and it expanded its business like 10 years ago with the introduction of streaming media and retained the DVD and Blu-ray rental business and
it's
all
gone,
that as well.
It's gone, like, DVDs are gone.
That's gone.
Somebody gave me a DVD 3 months ago, and I was like, I don't know what to do with that.
Right, yeah.
They're not even on my computer anymore. You know, it's streaming is the future. And I think it's going to be a very interesting time for television stations and stuff in the next 5 years, because I think it's all going to go online. I think the whole thing is going to completely shift, you know. So it's a very, and also, like, you know, add into that, like, how we even listen to music. We'll get onto that in a second. How we move, how we use transport. I mean, you know, I came here in a taxi because I was too late to get the old Dart. But like, I just go on my app and I just get a free now, which was Halo, which was called whatever it's been, have all these different things. And that was kicked off by Uber. You know, I don't even know how old Uber is. We don't really use it here in Ireland, but it was kicked off in the US a couple of years ago. I don't have a car anymore, but if I have to get a car, I go and go online to GoCar. If I want to book a train, I just go online and book my train
and
ticket.
City bikes.
City bikes have been huge. You know, like, you don't actually need to have a bike if you live in a city. You just, like, you know, log in online and then you just pull up, and it's all been used by the fact that we have access on our phones and we've access on our, you know, at home on the internet and everything.
Now, if I say travel agents, they'll get on and say, well, actually, we do exist. Travel agents.
I mean, you know, like, how we, like, I don't use a travel agent anymore. You just go online, you book your own. And then you have, like, you've internet sites that do the searches for you. So you don't even have to go on Aer Lingus or Ryanair to look what's available. You, like, Skyscanner is amazing. You know, and you just put in your dates and off it goes. And then, you know, you have
Trivago for booking hotels.
And then you have, like, Airbnb, which has completely changed the way we go on holidays. Like, you just can stay in accommodation and like, Airbnb has developed. These two guys kind of started out in the late 2008 and allowed people kind of stay on a kind of an air mattress in 2008. And then they eventually managed to get somebody to invest in it. And now it's like this global phenomenon where it's nothing to do about an air mattress anymore. It's these high levels of accommodation.
So hold on a second. If you're going to, I'm going to talk more about this, inventions of the decade, are we going to be looking entirely at what used to be, like, you know, an agricultural revolution to an industrial revolution, and now we have either the technological revolution or the information age, whatever you want to call it. Is that just about everything you're going to be talking about for the last 10 years? Because that's really where it is. It's everything.
More or less. Like, no, there's a few things, like, you know, you have, like, physical objects, like the iPad. I mean, that has, look at a child on an iPad, which is these tablet stuff and everything. It's changed the way we even use information. Cameras, they have our phones, they have cameras on them. Do people use cameras anymore? Unless you're an actual avid photographer. I don't know people who actually have a, or you'd have to have your camera to go to weddings or whatever it is. You don't need that anymore.
You do need it some places, though. Like, I'll tell you, I was at a gig only 3 nights ago in the Button Factory in Dublin, and there was a guy walking around with a big camera.
Yeah, because he's a photographer.
Well, you see, no, the thing about it is, all you got to do is bring your big camera and people just get out of the way and get right up to the front.
Oh, right, okay.
There's probably no film in his camera.
That's good, yeah.
That's a well-known rock and roll thing.
Other kind of inventions is, and also behind all this stuff is, like, the rise of artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence is just this word that describes the way, like, the level of computing and learning, machine learning, is preempting what we need in advance of that. So you have all these apps and you have all these websites and stuff, but behind all those, why it's really advanced is this level of software that's available for us to kind of preempt what we want. So, you know, like, you put in a web search and it kind of knows exactly what you want to search for.
Smart replies on Gmail,
Spotify, you know, you kind of, I won't let anyone near my Spotify account because they'll mess what I'm listening to. So then all my recommendations
change. And do you read all your product recommendations?
Well, like, they're everywhere. Like, so even when you're on a website, it kind of tells you what you want and everything. Yeah. So everything is being kind of detailed to you, which is a good thing. I mean, not necessarily a bad thing.
You mentioned bicycles. You haven't mentioned maybe you did. I wasn't listening. The maps and directions and all the rest of them.
Yeah, but that's another thing as well. You know, like, it kind of, that is all based on EI, and of course, like, the use of satellites too behind it all.
Right.
So the next category then is electric cars. Now, yeah. if I could afford a car, I got rid of my car because it was a diesel car 2 years ago. But if I could afford a car, I would definitely get an electric car, you know, because it is a more, you know, environmentally friendly way of getting around from A to B.
Well, the government has gone for 10% by 2020.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And at the moment, last year, we had just under 5,000 cars on the road. So they want to bring that up to 10%, and the total amount of
That'll
cars
be quarter
on the road
of a million or so.
Quarter of a million cars.
Is it?
So there's a lot to do. Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot to get there. I'm not sure if they'll get there, but it's part of their climate action plan. And but to do that, they need to have a good charging network catering for 800,000 vehicles by 2030. I don't know too many people that have electric cars yet. Do you?
No.
So the most popular one seemingly is the Nissan Leaf.
In fact, I don't know. I don't think I know anybody who's got one, do I? No.
I know people who have hybrids. I know people who have hybrids, but I don't know anyone who have pure electric cars yet.
Just a couple of things here. 51552. Listening to the show courtesy of Alexa. I got rid of most of our radios. This is so simple. It's so good that I bought more for my Christmas presents. That's from Karen Murray.
Yeah.
I still use disposable cameras. Great pictures. That's Mary O'Shea in Loughboy and Kilkenny.
I love disposable cameras, though. Yeah. You know, there is something about going, handing them in, waiting for them to be developed, and knowing that you only have 24 exposures. When you think of it, like, now you can just go for thousands of cameras, you know. Mm. But the electric cars are, I don't know. I mean, I think that's going to be something that might take more into the next decade, because I think unless we have a structure that has enough charging
and
stations,
car scrappage and all that,
and car scrappage, and also I think the battery size, like they're saying that the Nissan Leaf, you know, you can get 400 kilometres on a full charge.
What about
on
the
a
Kona?
Nissan Leaf? And the Kona, that's the second most popular one as well. And they're saying like 400 kilometres. But actually, I do know somebody who has an electric car, and they do say that you can't really get 400 kilometres. Like, you'll get maybe about 120 or so, and then you have to pull into a garage. And the fear is that when you pull into these garages, some of the charging stations don't work, and some of them have the lower battery charge. So it takes about 3 hours to charge on the lower kind of rated charging stations, and about half an hour for the higher rated ones. And
do you think people are not totally convinced yet? Because
I think it's just the limit
on a driving distance, say the initial purchase cost, of course, as well, and the inconvenience of charging the battery.
That's
maybe?
Right. That's the thing. And until we kind of get smarter batteries, and that they can charge, that the charging stations are more widespread, and that they charge in kind of a half an hour, it really is something that kind of people want it.
It is
but
the future.
We're not ready. I think it is the future. Right. Yeah, people want it, but it still has a lot of way to go.
Okay, and charging stations and charging times and all those kind of. Things.
So the next thing I think that we kind of take for granted are just cards. Like, you know, have you a Leap card? Have you a Leap card?
I don't, no.
Do you not?
No. I should I?
Yeah, you don't get the Dart then, do you not?
I don't really get
Okay, all right. Well, I get the Dart and then I get trains and stuff. There are 2.5 million Leap card users. And like the population of Ireland is what? Just under 4 million. That means like a lot of people have Leap cards in Ireland.
An awful lot, yeah.
An awful lot of people have Leap cards, you know, because you can use them on the buses, you can use them on the Dart, you can use them to book your train tickets. So if you're public transport at all, you'd have a Leap card. So this contactless payment, we have gotten very used to it. So behind all contactless payments, so if do you tap when you pay?
Yeah.
So that's contactless.
Actually, I'm just thinking also with cards, what I've got, do many hotels, or is it a nice thing, have a thing called a key?
Yeah, I don't know. I think somebody gave me a key. I was in I went to a hotel, I think in Limerick, about 3 months ago, and it was the first time somebody gave me a key.
Yeah.
I would say
you were scared of losing it.
Yeah, like we just take it for granted that you know, you're given one of those annoying ones that they're magnetic.
Listen, you go up the 94th floor and it doesn't work.
For God's sake. Now, the contact ones are good because at least you can just put them up against the door and then it opens.
Yeah.
But those contactless things are just taken for granted now. And then on top of that, the contactless payments. So there's an RFID system with a lot of the contactless payments. So, but now you've got things like Apple Pay and Google Pay.
Sorry, RFID, I should know.
So RFID is radio frequency identification. So that's where you have, like, you know, when you tap, that's RFID, and the hotel cards, that's where you tap. But then you have like Apple Pay and Google Pay, where you don't even need to have a card, that you use your phone to just tap instead. And that's like NFC, so that's another type of thing, but it's a higher frequency.
That's near field communication.
That's right. Well done, Dave. My God, you're very technological. So we've kind of taken...
That's the first time I've ever been accused of that.
We've taken all those kind of technologies for granted, and there they are, you know.
Right.
And technologies, I think, that are emerging, and, you know, like when I was kind of
We are looking at the last 10 years, so what's coming in now?
3D printing, they reckon, is going to take over everything.
Did they not tell us that 6 years ago?
Yeah, Yeah, but I still think 3D printing is sort of for the maker community. And but like,
did you ever see Mr. Mercedes on television?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Well, do you remember at the? Oh God, am I going to give away something at the end of season two? Okay,
3D,
turn off your radios at the end of season
3D two.
Did
he 3D print something?
No, she did.
Oh, she
he's
did.
In court at the last program in season two.
She 3D prints a key or something for him.
Oh
does
God,
she?
I better not say anything. Am I allowed to give it away? I am. Yeah. No, she 3D prints a gun. That's how she gets into the courtroom.
I've seen a 3D in the Brody, science gallery.
Brady, what's his name? Brady something. Brody.
In the science gallery, they had a 3D printer. I'm not sure it's like fully like the way contactless payments are and the way like Alexa and everything is mainstream. I think 3D printer is still in the maker community. But I saw like I did an event for Science Week in November, and somebody from the food science department 3D printed the logo for the event that I did, baking in space with cream cheese.
Really. Wow.
And I had this, so it's a line by line. So basically, a 3D printer basically builds up an object line by line, so that you download software and it scans an object and is able to kind of figure out how it's printed line by line. And it's very intelligent. So it's not like an outer line by line. It's like an inner as well. So you might have something that's really intricate, and it knows how to print it line by line. So restaurants are using it, like the likes of, you know, these kind of Heston Blumenthal's and stuff. They're 3D printing food. They reckon people will be able to 3D print meals. They'll go into a shop, they'll get cartridges of different ingredients, and then they'll 3D print their meals.
I'm trying to get my head around
all
this.
I know, it's
mental. And in fact, this is not something I didn't hear about 6 years ago. I still think
that's kind of cutting edge.
You can make like simple tools on
demand. You can make tools, you can make
toys and models for kids and stuff.
Yeah, and like you can make jewellery. Like
household objects in general.
And there's different websites that kind of 3D print jewellery. And in space, it's really handy because they 3D print anything that they need up there, which is very, very handy.
And I presume like costs come down and also that like printers become more readily available.
I think until we kind of have a printer in the house the way a microwave is, I still think it's going to take time. So, you know, as an invention for us every day, I'm not sure it's impacting us every single day. And then lastly, have you had any access to virtual reality?
As in like put on the headphones
put
and
on
watch
the headset,
some Oculus Rift and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I've done a thing.
They still reckon that needs to be, you know, they reckon that this is something that's come from the last decade. I still think that's something that hasn't yet dropped into everyday
life. 5 years ago, I thought it would happen by about 2016.
Yeah, I think people don't know how to best use it. I mean, it's really been used now. It's been really been taken up in educators. So in the workplace, it's a great way.
But surely medicine
medicine.
And, you know,
so medical students are learning how to use it. And also, like, they're using it in job interviews to see how competent you are. Like, you know, do you know how to do your job well? But I think it's still in the kind of the leisure industry. So I think movies definitely. I was at a conference, Dave, in October, and they're currently taking footage off the International Space Station using this VR technology, and they shared about 3 minutes of it. It blew me away. I actually started feeling like I was floating, as if I was on the International Space Station. So that's where I think it's really good. But education,
and also
yes.
It's a pain management and stuff.
Pain management. That's right.
Maladies.
That's right. And if you go to the dentist, some dentists are using it. You put on a VR headset, and you actually are completely unaware of what they're doing in your tooth. So you actually forget that you're being administered pain.
You're saying it works like an anesthetic of some sort.
It's just like your body is.
You're so
engrossed, you don't actually realise like what's happening. So pain management is very good. Education, everything.
Again, the travel industry. I mean, how has that?
To give you an idea of what it's like.
So well. From virtual reality.
So you know, it'll be like I always think it's like the Matrix or something. You know, or do you remember that movie with Bruce Willis where there's a sim of you out in the real world and you're just at home. Yeah, it was Looper. Yeah, where you're like, so that's where I see kind of VR to be, but that's kind of scary because then nobody will go outside, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where I think it is. But definitely like broadband, wireless, 4G, now going into 5G. That's completely transformed the way we communicate.
Wow, that's fantastic. Inventions of the decade and beyond.
And beyond. And watch 3D printing and watch virtual reality, I think. And synthetic biology.
And Dr. Niamh Shaw, let's take a look at 2020 and let's get some vision going there.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about, is it March or April or May? I can't remember. Damn it. The book.
The book. Yes, Dave. 2020. It'll be out in March.
What's it called? What's it about?
It's called Dream Big. I was asked last year by Mercier Press to write a book about my mad idea to want to get to space and where it came from. And so it's an account of all of that.
All kinds of simulations.
I've done all kinds of things. So it's all of that and why.
Were you over in Area 37 or whatever it's called?
No, not yet. Area 51.
51,
no.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was on Mars. Well, I was on a simulated Mars mission and I kind of floated for a while.
Okay, sorry. Go back to the book. What is it again?
But yeah, the book is a memoir of sorts of like the story so far, why I wanted to go to space. It's not really to be an astronaut. It's to kind of show how difficult it is, really. I want to go as like an everyday person to kind of really shift where space is going, because there's a thing now. Watch that in the next decade, how we're going to be using space.
I'd love to have a discussion now about where space is going, but Brian Redden's falling asleep out there. He says to come in next.
Okay, all right. Happy Christmas to you, Dave.
Yeah, happy Christmas to you, Niamh. Very good. So it's called Dream Big.
Dream Big, yeah. An Irish woman's space odyssey. That's what it's called.
Wow. By the way, do you think you ever will? Is it going to happen?
Oh yeah, I will. Well, really? I'm going on a massive. But the great thing about the book is it's helped me figure out what I'm doing next. And I'm going on a massive walking project to meet thousands of people. And hopefully they'll get me up.
Will you do a call from us when you're in space?
I will indeed. Of course. Brilliant. I will.
Niamh, it's been a real pleasure as usual.
Dr.
Niamh Shaw, PhD, and lots of things that I don't understand. Thank you very much, Niamh Dublin, and happy Christmas to you, Niamh.
You
very
too,
good.
Dave. Thanks. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.